Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Ninth State Sports Show Lacrosse Edition. My name is Joe Marcellina, and joining me once again, Dairy Field AD and boys lacrosse coach Chris Hettler. Chris, how you doing?
Thawing out, Joe.
Thawing out, yeah.
It was a rude awakening coming back from Florida to this, but hey, we're out there. It's been a good, productive 3 days, and enjoying being out with the team, and looking forward to a good scrimmage with Londonderry this weekend.
Yeah, like I said, when I walked in, I was joking. Didn't think you were getting on a plane to go from Florida to Seattle, but...
It definitely felt like it.
Yeah. So hopefully the sun comes back at some point. And that'll do it for the weather segment. As always, you can share your feedback or thoughts on the show by sending an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com or by connecting on social media. You can follow the site on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at NHHSports. New shows will be posted every Thursday morning throughout the end of the regular season. And we'll be doing shows throughout the playoffs, too. Basically, till at least mid-June, we got you covered. You can listen to them by going to nh-highschoolsports.com or by searching for Ninth State Sports Show on Spotify or Odyssey. And starting this week, you will be able to listen to the podcast on the radio. Do you ever want to be on the radio, Coach?
I've been told I have a face for radio, but I mean, you know.
Oh, come on now. The folks over at Manchester Public Television are going to start airing the show for us each week on their station WMNH 95.3. Not sure what the timing on that will be, what the schedule will look like, but as soon as we know, we'll be sure to let everybody know. So keep an eye out for that. Pretty exciting. Definitely not something I ever anticipated when we were going to start these, is that someday it would end up on the radio, but I feel like we kind of worked backwards here. But, yeah. Pretty cool. And before we get started, I want to tell you about our sponsor. The Ninth State Sports Show is proudly sponsored by Prolax Custom. Since 2018, Prolax Custom Lacrosse of Bedford has been the region's go-to source for boys' stick stringing and custom lacrosse head dies. Don't settle for a hand-me-down stick or mass-produced factory pocket when you can get a stick dialed in for your position and playing style from Prolax Customs. Whether it's a brand new stick, a restring of your existing stick, or a full custom dye job to stand out from the crowd, every customer they work with gets one-on-one service and satisfaction guaranteed. With access to every major brand, Prolax Customs is your hometown source for your next stick. Visit them on Instagram or at prolaxcustoms.com. Of course, sponsorships, if you would like to also sponsor the show, certainly something that is available. So you're interested in that, just send an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com or, you know, direct message us on any of the social medias. Get those right on my phone so I'll see them right away. And
Joe's had more business than he knows what to do with, so it's working.
Yeah, it's been a great partnership, I think. I mean, I can't think of anything that might have worked out as well as, you know, having him sponsor the show. So it's been great, and certainly appreciate him for doing that. All right, well, this is the week where we don't have much time for dilly-dallying here when we do our previews. We're going to do a Division II preview this week.
Largest division out there.
Largest division. It's only 20 teams, though. It was 21, used to be 21. But with Hillsborough Deering and John Stark co-oping, and you had Bo and Co. Brown moving down a couple years ago, just all that moving around, it's now only 20 teams. So
makes it easier for the 75%
sure,
rule
yes.
For the playoffs there.
We start these out are with the best of intentions. We reach out to every coach, ask for info. Most of them get back to me. Not all of them did. So there may be a few teams that we kind of just talk about very lightly.
We'll talk about in terms of what they did last year.
What they did, sure.
Guys, we know they have returning, and you know, kind of expectations for those teams there. But we do appreciate all the coaches that did get back to us. Some coaches extremely in depth and some great insight into you know, sort of their goals coming into the season, their expectations, guys they're excited about, newcomers to their teams, things like that. I'm excited, man. We're a week and a half in. We're excited for the scrimmage we got coming up this weekend, and excited to talk a little D2.
We started last year. We did last week with Division I. Instead of just sitting here and reading off a bunch of names, we'll be a little bit more creative, try to come up with some questions for each team. So we're going to do that. And, of course, we start with the defending champs. Fortunately, we have someone from that program in the room right now. I guess the first question for Derry
Field. I don't even know the question. You're putting
me on
the spot right
now. It's kind of simple, I guess. How do you repeat? Simple question, right?
To me, it's the same formula that we always go into the season with. We don't want to be one-dimensional. We want to, when we put 10 guys out on the field, we want them all to be threats, right? And we train our guys to play that way so that when teams scout us, they can decide who they want to focus on and who they want to take away in both the offense and defensive end of the field. And we want to make it really difficult for them. We want to say, like, okay, if we're going to take away a Chili Cabot, well, you know what, we've got other guys that are going to step up and put the ball in the back of the net. Defensively, we don't want to rely on any one person. I'm really excited about our goaltender, senior Parker Leibitz, who's taken huge strides over the last couple of years. Feel like he's going to be a backbone and a key to our success this year. Logan Purvis in the faceoff circle, committed to NJIT next year. Those two guys, tremendously proud of them. Those are two kids that when I had them as middle school students, didn't even play lacrosse and have really put a lot of work in over the last couple of years. Joe, I think you've watched our team indoors and things like that. We've got some pretty dynamic guys coming back on offense. Got a lot of guys committed to college. I don't know. You tell me. How do you think we're going to defend this year?
On paper, it's the kind of thing where you look at and you say, okay, well, they only lost six guys, but the six guys, it's not one of those years where, okay, like three of those guys were, played big roles, and then you had a couple of seniors who were, kind of backups or they had different roles. I think all six of those guys are big shoes to fill. And 100%. would be tough to replace for most programs. But you had so many guys contribute last year that weren't seniors in the last couple years. So you're bringing back guys, I think, you mentioned Chili, Logan and Parker. Alex Murray is a guy who's, I feel like, has been around forever.
Both Chili and Alex started since freshman.
Right, started since freshman year.
RJ Prue is a junior, started since a freshman.
So many guys that have the experience, I feel like those holes are going to be, I don't say they're easy to fill, but they're not going to be, it's not one of those like, what are we going to do?
We're for sure going to work through some kinks and some different things early in the season and have to, get through those speed bumps. But I'm really excited. In the first week and a half, some guys have really stepped up to start to fill those shoes. I look at a guy like John Kramer, who may have been more of a role midfielder for us last year, really doing a great job, was elected by his peers as captain. He's definitely going to be in that spot. We've got a utility knife kind of player in Brady Daldo, who, again, I don't think he's coming off the field this year. He's going to be all over the place for us. On the defensive end, we return a great pull in Max Fowler, Tyler Marston. Max is going to St. A's next year. Tyler is going down to Emory Riddle next year. So we've got, two solid pulls that really played a lot for us last year. And like I said, Parker in the net. Like any team, though, we're going to have some guys that'll need to develop and step up as the season goes along there. I do think the bar and the ceiling is really high for these guys, and they want to get back. They want to get back to where we've been other seasons, and they're pretty driven to do it. So excited to be out there coaching with them.
I think if I was picking one area, or I had to single out one area for you guys that was a question mark. You mentioned the guys you've got back on defense, but you lost some. I feel like
a lot of
experience, and maybe not as much. The guys that you had that played, you, I think, leaned on a lot.
For sure.
There's some guys that have to get in and get their feet wet.
Yep, and that'll be early season. We've got some guys that we're really excited about that'll get tested early in the scrimmages here, and we'll kind of learn some things about them. But, I don't think there's any secret, that's why I'm really excited that, we do have such an experienced Fogo and goaltender coming back, is that will help ease that process and getting those guys some experience there. But, we've already said that team defense is our major driving factor here in the preseason here. Everybody is buying into almost playing positionless lacrosse and really learning how to play defense and good, solid team defense as the season goes along.
Yeah, you got a couple scrimmages to get those guys ready to go, which I think, you know, certainly the first five games on the schedule, you know, nothing. I mean, obviously the scrimmages against Londonderry and Bedford, two, you know, Division I programs that we expect
big
to be
physical athletes
competing for, yep, for the Final Four. Then you open with Oyster River, who, you know, yeah, some people, maybe me included, might be a, you know, the dark horse team.
Absolutely.
In the division this year. Then going to Winneconnet, to Kennett, which, you know, don't know how strong they're going to be, but that's always a tough
still
ride.
Still a long trip, yep.
Then Sauhegan, and then at St. Thomas to start the year.
Yeah, so we'll be tested. We'll be tested early on. And like we said, we might have to work through some speed bumps along the way, but the guys, this is a very experienced and driven group, and they've got a lot of confidence, and I think we're going to have really good chemistry by the time we get to midseason here.
All right, well, let's get into question two here. Of course, now for last year's runner-up, Portsmouth. My question there is, how much will the supporting cast around them need to step up to help out Zachaman and Nick Smith this year? Obviously, those two guys are two of the best at their positions in the state, two of the best overall in the state. You know, saw them a lot in indoor this year, just a lot of fun to watch. They play at such a high tempo.
Their motor never
stops. Yeah.
Those two are always on the field.
They're always moving. Yeah. Great to watch. You know. Hard to believe. Again, they're guys too, both started as freshmen, or at least played a lot as freshmen, and it feels like they've been around forever.
Yeah.
One of those ones where you look at next year and it's going to be really weird not talking about either one of them.
It'll be weird, but the cupboard's not bare there either.
Sure,
they've got some
sure.
great kids coming up.
Both going to play D1 next year. Amend committed to Bryant, Smith to Quinnipiac. But yeah, those two alone will win them a lot of games in Division II.
I was going to say, in 90%, maybe more of the games they play, yes, those two will probably be enough. You know, in some of their bigger games they've got scheduled, their supporting cast will need to step up in those games. But they, you know, for them, they do have a good supporting cast. You know, a guy that really came on last season, Lucas Patton, I felt like he was kind of a breakout player for them last year. Big physical, grew into his body, great shot with time and room, gets down the alley. You know, he's going to the Marine Corps next year, going to serve for us. Ben Purcell, kid who, again, sort of had a breakout year as a sophomore, battled through some injuries. He's committed. He had a great summer, committed to Binghamton right now. He's going to be a big player for them. You know, I think a player that was kind of underrated for them last season, Briggs Catino, he kind of flew under the radar a little bit at attack. Quick, shifty kid, good righty-lefty, played at X a lot for them last year. I'm interested to see how he continues to develop. And then, you know, who steps up to fill those other roles? Does a Riley Collins step up on attack this year? A kid kind of coming into his own, bigger, stronger. You know, can a freshman kid I coached, Gus Baker, as a freshman, can he make an impact for them there? You know, and then on the defensive side, I think they're very similar to us. So
that's where the big question is.
Lost some very good pulls. But I think one of the advantages they have is, you know, they have a bigger school and they have a lot of athletes there. And I mentioned, you know, it just seems like they always put out a pull that you're like, where did that kid come from? Right? And he's
sure.
big, he's strong, he doesn't get beat. You know, you do have Macy Schoen.
Hey, that's who that guy was 2 years ago.
I kind of knew him coming in as a freshman. I knew he was not only physically developed as a freshman, but he also had experience and his stick skills were really good. And so you kind of knew he was going to make an impact as a freshman. But then similar to us, right, they have a returning goaltender in Kai Patterson who's got good experience there. So, you know, they've got a lot of things to lean on. Their success will probably be dictated by how well, you know, some of those, like you said, some of those role players step up and develop as the season goes along. But having a guy like Nick Smith that's able to get you the ball a lot allows you some time to kind of to grow into those things.
You know, another guy on defense that you know, that Coach Fisher I think is expecting a lot from would be you know, maybe the next guy in that line, Andy Brown.
Yep.
A sophomore for them. You know, looking for him to maybe step up a little bit. And I've also heard too, we also, you know, early injuries for the Clippers as well. I heard the coach got banged up while skiing a couple weeks ago. So hopefully he's on the mend and
tell my
and
guys no skiing in the off season.
That's got to extend to coaches too. So hopefully he's doing all right. getting better. And, of course, he was, you know, very thankful for his assistants for stepping up, being able to help out maybe a little bit more, you know, if he needed them to. We always like to joke with him, too, because I feel like every year he says, or a couple of years ago when we knew they were going to be really good, he said, oh, hopefully we can go 500. And that's been kind of the running joke. So, of course, finish his email with they'll be somewhere around 500. But I think we all know that that was a joke, and he's kidding about that. And I'd expect them to be right back in the mix. And
they will be right in the mix again, absolutely.
Certainly no surprise if they're playing in that championship game, which will be held at the same time in a different location as all the other championship games, just in case you needed a reminder on that.
Weekly rant, there it is.
That's it, yep. Maybe I'll just do that, or I'll sneak it in somewhere.
Sneak it in somewhere.
See if you notice. You know, we can give out prizes for people that try to catch it.
Submit the timestamp. Yeah,
I may have to think too much to do that. So team number three that I wanted to ask about is a team that I feel like every year we have huge questions about them, just whether it's personnel wise, coaching wise, both. You know, who's going to do this for them? Who's going to do that for them? Could they win this? Are they going to beat this team? Can they beat that team? And then they always seem to end up in the conversation for the Final Four. That would be Wyndham, who was in the Final Four last year, was in the Final Four 2 years ago. Go back to pre-COVID. I'm trying to remember.
Played us in the semifinals.
Yeah, 2019, yep. They were in the semis. I feel like every time I turn around, they're right there.
They're right there. Yeah.
They just can't break through. And is this... How would the Jaguars finally break through in their final year in D2? I don't think if that was a secret, I just let it out of the bag. But going to be moving up to D1 next year when the cycle resets. Can they get to the final? How do they get to the final this year in their last year in D2?
If it's going to happen, they've got three families to thank, in my opinion. The Trudell brothers, right? Uh-huh. You've got Andrew, who's arguably, you know, one of the best poles in the league. He'll be there. I assume he will be there for Defensive Player of the Year discussion at the end of the year. His younger brother, Josh, who plays in the midfield, plays a little bit of attack too for them. You've got the DiPietro brothers. You've got Billy, you know, as a senior captain along with Andrew on defense. You've got Rob taking the faceoffs for them. Underrated faceoff guy last year, right? Really, really came into his own, started to, you know, I think is going to be a strength for them this season. And then you've got the Silveris brothers. You've got Dylan at the midfield and Jake also playing midfield and attack there as well. You know, those three families alone right there, there's some serious talent there. I think coach feels it's one of the deepest teams. I think he's got some freshmen that he's really excited about. You know, and to me, what was really impressive watching them in the semifinals last year against Portsmouth is how fast and how physical they played, and they played really good defense. Their goaltending, I mean, you said, you know, Casey Kramer,
yeah.
He had an unbelievable day that day.
Yeah.
Like that game. Portsmouth got off some shots, but like he kept them in that game for
closer game than you might have thought going in.
Well, I mean, Wyndham was up, and it was a one goal game going into late in the third, if not the fourth quarter.
Sounds right, yeah.
And then Portsmouth was able to break through, and the score looked worse than it was. That was a really good game last year. So.
Yeah, and maybe another set of brothers there too. I'm not sure on this one, but. The guy listed here, another freshman, Sam Kramer, who's a midi, maybe a younger brother of Casey.
Possible Casey.
So,
Kramer, yep.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, it doesn't.
The Wyndham Youth Program is going strong, gets their hooks in and gets the whole family involved.
It may be a little cliche, but I mean, that kind of stuff, you know,
makes a huge difference. Matters.
The other thing that matters, so you mentioned, you know, Billy DiPietro, one of their captains, you know, and then another captain, Matt Damaris. Both were standouts, key players for the football team this past fall. You know, just, you know, they didn't have the best of years, but they've gone back to back in the playoffs in football. I think that's a huge thing too, to just, yep. If you have success in one program with one team, it can certainly carry over into another program.
Absolutely. Well, winning and being competitive carries through in every sport, right? And so I think, yeah, you know, when your school has a culture of just winning and competing and being good in multiple sports, it does help. You know, I think one of the reasons Wyndham flew a little bit under the radar, and it's no fault of their own, is like with 20 teams in the division, everybody has a different schedule, right? So last year, Wyndham didn't have an opportunity to play, and unfortunately, it's the flip of that schedule from last year. They didn't have the opportunity to play as many of the top teams, which what ended up being the top teams last year. So I think they flew a little under the radar coming into the playoffs. They won't fly under the radar this year. I don't think anybody who watched them play and see what they did in the playoffs last year will underestimate them this year. They're definitely a team to watch this year.
Interesting first week where they have to go to Sauhegan and to Oyster River to start the year. As they've also got a couple of D1 games mixed in there. You're going to like these. Salem early on in the year, which traditional kind of, you know, rivalry game. Nashua South, who I believe they played last year as well. And then early May, they go to Pinkerton on a Saturday, on the first
game.
Saturday
that'll
in May.
That'll be an interesting
game. Yeah, they
that'll
did that a couple years ago. I want to say it was 21 during the COVID year. I went to that and kind of checked out early because they got smashed in that one. But certainly, I think they're in a different spot now than maybe they were that year. You know, and not a bad idea. Remember, you know, 10 years ago, Bedford did the same thing when they knew they were moving up to D1, went and scheduled, you know, regular season games against Exeter and Pinkerton. I think they played Hanover that year. They scrimmaged BG. So they got, you know, they started to prepare themselves early. So, you know, nice to see, you know, Wyndham stepping up.
It also doesn't hurt when
them.
You win those games too. You get the extra points.
Absolutely,
right?
The
so
extra
it's,
point.
It's never, you know, those are always good things to get.
Right. All right. So where do you want to go now? Well, we've got, you know, let's. I'm just going to throw this one out there.
All right.
Because I don't want to go too far, but without talking about this team, that would be Timberlane. And I think the big question for them is an obvious one: what does life after Brady Marston look like for the Owls? You're talking about another guy who feels like he was their starting goalie forever. You know, now he's graduated. They graduated a bunch of, you know, other really good guys from last year's team that was knocked out in the quarterfinals by St. Thomas. But I think for them, they start on defense around that goalie with some really good guys.
Yeah, I mean Gary Shivel returning defensive player of the year, you know, that's a great you know, backbone piece to have right there. I know they're really excited about Logan Johnson at LSM. You know, I think at one point Coach Blaskin is to, you know, you wait till you see these guys get off the bus this year. I've got 6-foot poles I'm throwing out there, monsters out there, and I have no doubt that he does. Like they will be big, they will be physical, they're gonna come after you. You know, and he's got two goalies that have been waiting their turn. It'll be interesting to see, you know, which one is it, Bryce? Is it Joe? You know, who steps up there? They've done a good job of developing. When you have, you know, it's kind of like face-off guys. When you have them in the program, when you have a good goaltender, right? It helps to train the ones underneath. And when it's their turn, it's not as big a drop-off as you think. And I think just with the type of defense they can play, they might not be giving up a lot of shots this year, right? So it may limit what those goalies actually have to do.
Yeah, Bryce Carty's a senior. Yep. Joe Hughes, a sophomore. So, that's the good thing to have, too. It's not like they have two seniors who are competing for that spot this year. They got two guys that, one of whom will be here, you know, for a couple more years after this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you look at Jack Condon returning on attack.
I was going to say, offense is going to – if anybody's overlooking their offense, it's going to be pretty good this year.
Michael Savage at midfield. Those are two guys, I think, that jump out at you. You know, certainly both very talented guys who can pick up, you know, whatever they might have lost.
I think you're
going
to see a kid in Landon Petrie take a step this year, too. He started as a freshman last year, quick, shifty, a little undersized, another year of growth, another year of confidence. You know, I think he's going to be a good player for them. Austin Charest is a captain at the midfield. He's been a longtime contributor for him. I feel like I've heard that name forever. Well, I've heard it for 4 years, but, you know, he's been there. Cole Gary, you know, there will not be a lack of goal-scoring opportunities for them this year.
So, overall, life might be okay this year without
I think Coach Blaskin is pretty excited about his team, yeah.
All right. Where do you want to go?
I know he's excited that the Cougars have to come to the Owl Nest this
that's,
year.
I saw that. That's
your birthday,
that's
right?
That's on my birthday. So we'll have to. I'll have to wear a you know, a party hat or something.
I was going
to
say, we'll get you a little party hat.
Yeah. Maybe get one of those Burger King crowns and
Coach Blaska have some cupcakes for you after that thing?
Absolutely. All right, where do you want to go? I'll let you go next. I picked the last couple teams here. What do you?
Well, why don't we go with? I mean, we'll go with our semifinal matchup last year in St. Thomas.
All right.
You know, a team that consistently every year under the helm of Scott Singer continues to get better and better. Plays a really polished style of offense and defense. They throw a lot of things at you last year. Threw zones at us, threw 10-man rides at us. Changed a lot of looks on offense. It's a very well coached team. Did lose. I think, again, it seems like we've been talking about this every day. There's a lot of question marks on defense for team. Well, with the exception of Timberlane, but this is another team that got hit hard in graduation last year. They do return George Daniacker on defense. But other than that, they lost some really Zachary Botchel. They lost some really, really, really good defenders last year. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them. They do return Eli Allaire in goal, who's been a mainstay for them, very good player. So that'll help a little bit. But my question is with the graduation of Anthony DiMartino, who steps up to help Jackson Estes and Finley Dottola, right? Two names that, everybody in the league is familiar with there. Are there some other players that will jump out early season there? And I'm interested to see who those guys are. I'm sure they had some freshmen come in. There might be some transfers, and it'll be interesting to kind of see who those guys are.
Yeah, definitely a team that I feel like has been there, is there pretty consistently. And now, not running into you guys in the quarterfinals, they're able to get to that Final Four. I did go back and look at that, by the way, how many times, I've been trying to get these scheduled.
I think it was 3 years in a row.
I have it here. Just give me 1 second, because I certainly
definitely
am not prepared.
Definitely in 15 when I almost had a heart attack.
15, 16, I think like either 17, but definitely 19. And then 2 years ago, I think. I think that might have been. And then just this past year. You guys have played. Derryfield and St. Thomas have played 5 times in the playoffs, including last year's semifinal. The other 4 were all quarterfinals. You guys have met 9 times total, and since you guys moved up
always
to D1,
really good game, always really good games.
Good games, all with Derryfield coming out on top.
Thanks, Joe.
Oh, I can feel the daggers just. Flying across the room at me.
It was really good games. I'm excited to, it's always a game that we look forward to. It's always a game that we prepare. We have to be on our best against them. And we've, as you said, we've been very lucky to come out on top, and we hope to continue that luck this year. But they're going to be a force to reckon with. I would say Jackson Estes, along with some of the other names we've talked about in the offensive, and he will be up for player of the year discussion. Finley Dottola, another player that, a very dynamic player, really good shooter with his hands free, crafty off ball. I think he's going to take a step forward in his ability to create one-on-one this year too. So some matchup problems for sure for teams there.
All right, let's pick up the next team. How about stay on the seacoast there? We'll talk a little bit about the Winnicott Warriors, another team that, has, again, I think you kind of alluded to it looking at defense, but it feels like everybody has a question mark on one side or the other. Like, yeah, there, a couple teams with defense, a couple teams with offense. I think maybe for the Warriors.
This is a team that's very high on their defense.
Sure. Yeah. They're going to have to probably lean on that defense through what is another tough start. You mentioned that the schedule flips every year, and once again their schedule is pretty tough to begin with. They open the year hosting Marshwood, then they host Derryfield, go to St. Thomas, and then host Division I Dover the first 4 games. Wyndham's on that schedule, Portsmouth, Goffstown and Hollis Brookline on the road. So it's a schedule that by the end, this is what we saw happen last year. I think they started 0-3. If I'm not mistaken, last year, and ended up being the 6th seed or 5th seed somewhere in there, because they got going a little bit and took some time to come together, and really finished off the year strong. This year, I think, you know, it might be a little bit similar to that, and it'll be probably the defense that carries them early on.
I was going to say, I think the team that you see at the end of the spring is going to be very different from here. I think, you know, Coach Snow, I think, similar to Wyndham, is really excited about some of the freshmen, and Portsmouth, for that matter, about, you know, some of the freshmen they have coming in. And I think those are the kids they're going to need to step up on offense there. You know, he talks about guys like Lucas Botnick as a junior at midfield, Tim Kilmerigan on attack as a senior there. You know, I think those two guys early on, but then they're going to need other guys to step up around them, and who those guys are and how quickly they can get up to speed will help dictate their early success and then where they are at the end of the season there. But, you know, as you said, you want to talk a little bit about their defense. I mean, they got some guys committed.
Yeah. I mean, the guy that is probably you go to first is Jake Magri. He's a guy, again, feels like he's been there for a while. Certainly, they're probably most experienced guy on defense, committed to St. Joe's for next year. And then and then in goal, I feel like they always have somebody at the very least who's a solid returning kid
right
in goal. Hopefully I'm going to get this right. Noah Andrinanako. I might have put an extra syllable in there. Sorry if I did. He's committed to go to Curry College next year. You know, two solid guys back there that I think are going to be that they're going to have to lean on early on this year.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, a team that comes from kind of similar to Wyndham, right? The winning culture, a lot of their programs do really well. They got multi-sport athletes. There are kids that are competitors. They're going to be physical. They're going to come out and they're going to compete every time. And you're going to have to work really hard to beat them. They're well coached. Coach Snow will have these guys coached up. And, you know, it's a team that they will for sure be reckoned with come playoff time.
All right. Where do you want to go next?
Well, why don't we go? I mean, let's throw it out here. Let's go. It's a team that I feel like the last couple of years we've talked about that, you know, is ready to make that next step. And, you know, if they're going to do it, this might be the year to do it. Let's talk a little bit about the Broncos, the Auburn Broncos.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
They are not a team that, you know, has made a deep run in the playoffs, but I feel like every year, you know, this is a team that continues to bring back a core, and that core is now seniors. Right. And so if they're going to make a run, this is going to be, in my opinion, this is going to be the year to do it. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. Looking at what they did last year, going 8-8, I think, in the regular season, 8 wins was their, you know, is now their the program record coming off a year before where I think they won 6 games, which at that point, I think, was the, you know, program record. Like you said, a lot of seniors back, starting with Aiden Kelly in goal. You know, that's huge for them. And then around him, you got Sam Fortin and Aiden Malloy, who are both seniors, junior LSM with Jackson Hurl. You know, so they've got some experience on the back end there. And then an attack, three seniors that, you know, are probably expecting to have really great years, led by, again, another name. If I butcher this, I apologize. Jonathan Santana, Preston Ball, and then Cedric Bolio. You know, three guys that I feel like were, you know, you talked about a lot with them last year as being kind of standout, especially Santana. I believe he's a football guy, too. So that's, I think a couple of those other guys we named as well are, so, you know, there's a big connection, I think, between the two programs.
And you don't often get promising newcomers as seniors, but he's got two senior midfielders listed as promising newcomers, along with a freshman and a sophomore there. So, you know, I think maybe you talked about that momentum that started last year. You know, maybe more kids in the school are feeling that and excited to come out to the team and adding to their depth this year. I think the Broncos have a great chance to take a further step, you know, forward this
year. That's what that says to me, is when you've got juniors and seniors listed as your, especially seniors, listed as newcomers that you expect to contribute. Those are guys who, you know, maybe were on the fence about playing, or maybe used to play, came back or came out because you've been successful, and they, you know, it's, say what you will about it, but it's true. People want to be a part of a winning program. So the more you're able to do that, the more you're going to, you know, more intention or more participation, I think, you're going to draw. So great to see that they're bringing those guys in as well. All right. Well, how about how about next we go with the team that I called potentially the dark horse of the division? That would be Oyster River Newmarket. You know, the Bobcats. I thought that might be where you were going with this one too, but I feel like they're kind of in a similar boat, maybe as Alvern, maybe a little bit a step ahead of that. You know, a team that we feel like has been on the rise consistently for a couple of years and just waiting to see them get over that hump. And again, I think another team that if things go the right way for them, this could be that year for them.
Absolutely. I mean, they return a really good core. I mean, you know, you lose your goaltender, but they've, you know, watching them indoors, they've got some great goaltenders ready to go. I don't know exactly which one's going to step up for them this year. Probably, if I had to take a guess, probably the junior in Cole Norris. But that's just a guess right now. But I mean, they've got solid goaltending there. I think their offense has the potential to be pretty dynamic this year. Evan Plourd returning as a senior this year. He unfortunately went down game one against us last year, you know, unfortunately, and then returns from injury this year. You know, he'll be a good backbone there. Ty Callender had it, you know, they were starting in the playoffs an entire freshman, Alex Moody, Jaden Smart, and Tyler Callender were all starting for them on attack, all returned.
They had
great
minutes
last year and really did a nice job. I mean, that's a scary attack line. Some of those guys I think are going to play midi too this year. I think maybe Jaden Smart might move up to midi a little bit. They've got a senior in Jake Felia coming back that didn't play last year who might play attack for them. So maybe offset. I think they're still going to be a little green at the midfield. So, you know, seeing which guys step up at the midfield and can they get production offensively and defensively from them is going to be a key for them. But their defense, their goaltending, you know, faceoffs took a Cole Levesque, you know, has taken a big step there for them. They're going to be a tough out for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned
not the team I want to play game one.
Yeah. You know, they're a similar on the defensive side, I think, maybe to Timberlane in the sense that they, you know, they lost a goalie who had been starting for a long time and then have two guys that they're, you know, mixing in. You mentioned Cole Norris, the junior. Connor Evans comes in as a freshman. Again, guys who are staggered, so you're, you know, one guy's maybe, the older guy's maybe taking on, you know, figuring things out early or getting in there and playing early, and then maybe you're mixing in the younger guy a little bit more as he gets a little bit more seasoning so that when, you know, the other guy graduates, you got another guy coming up. So I think that's a pretty positive thing. And then there's just
was a big thing in college. You always wanted to have goalies
next
2 years
guy,
apart, right? You wanted to have the junior and you wanted to have the freshman, right? So give
them
a little time to develop. It's a little different now where, like, look, if you're good, you're just going to play, right? Like, you're going to play right away. But
it's a little different now because you can just transfer somewhere else.
Fair enough.
I was going to say it's a little bit like a quarterback in football. You try to stagger, but now you just – which three guys are going to transfer in that we might play this year?
You got to re-recruit your recruits every year now.
Yes, exactly. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that all that much. But yeah, I'm a team that I'm really excited to see what they're able to do. And you know, another program, you know, just the rigors of a Division II schedule. You know, their start isn't any easier than a lot of teams. Of course, they're coming here that first Tuesday. Then they play Wyndham and Portsmouth back to back at home. You know, so. A really tough slate right out of the
gate. I think maybe going to Oyster River is easier than going to Winnicunnet. It just seems like it's always 5 to 10 degrees cooler on the seacoast. It's weird. At least Oyster River has turf.
I'm
not even sure. You know, Winnicunnet, hopefully they let us use the football field there, but we could be on one of the. We usually play on the football field there. The seacoast is a tough place to go early season.
Yeah. All right, where do we want to go next?
Well, I would say maybe you want to go Sauhegan or you want to go Goffstown?
Either or. Let's go Sauhegan.
We'll go with the Sabres.
You know, we were talking about them last year. You know, how would they drop down? You know, they moved back down. I shouldn't say moved. They were always in Division II numbers-wise, but had petitioned up to D1. You know, maybe 14 years ago, they decided to make that move down to D2 and then go back up. Last year, they moved down to D2. So this year, second year of the cycle, they're in D2 again. And really kind of similar, I think, trajectory as we were talking about with Winnicunnet. Started the year off a little slow, And then by the end of the year, they were really clicking, you know, had a great playoff game over at Hollis Brookline where Hollis just was able to pull away late in that one, get the win. That on the heels of when they played in the regular season, that was a fantastic game that Sauhegan did win. Probably the moment where they started to spark and,
to
and
really
get momentum going.
Right.
And, you know, they're a program that has, you know, a lot of talent returning, particularly, I believe, in that junior class, but certainly some really good seniors, defenseman Brett Bouvier and midfielder Zach Wyborny, who are both going to play at Wheaton next year. And then Cole Manning returns kind of as a midfield attack.
He was a huge missing piece for
them last
year.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's probably another thing, is it took him a little while to figure out how to replace him,
right.
You know, or what they were going to do without him there. So having him back, obviously a huge addition. And then on defense, a really good sophomore Poland in Reed Kimball, you know, who's expected to be kind of a leader even as a sophomore on the back end of that team for them.
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I know the last couple of years they've had to develop some goalies. I'm trying to remember if they have a returning goalie this year. I think they had a senior last year again. So I think they had two seniors actually last
year.
They
had two seniors, but I feel like there might have been a JV goalie because I think when you played them, the JV
That's what
goalie got in.
Yeah.
Because the starter got hurt during warm-ups.
Yeah. He did a good job in that game. So they may not be starting from scratch again this year there, and that'll definitely help as well.
Absolutely. You know, a ton of other you know, younger guys that are going to be looked at to step up to. Sophomore Nate Hill on attack. You know, midfielder Musecross Wartzel is a junior stepping in for them. Another junior on defense, Jared Kershaw. You know, so they've got some guys, they've got some depth, I think. You know, how I wouldn't put them in the upper echelon of the division yet, but certainly in that next tier of teams that's going to be competing for one of those top eight
spots.
Better
and better as the season goes along.
Certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the team, I want to make sure we don't skip anybody here, because I know we're getting a little further down our list, but did mention Hollis Brookline, the team that, you know, Sauhegan played in the first round last year. They were a team that reached the quarterfinals a year ago, have been in that spot a couple years. You know, unfortunately for them, they've got another coaching change. Mac Martin comes in.
But somebody with some really
experience,
good experience.
Yeah. Experience with the area, too. I believe he played at Merrimack. You know, a guy who's familiar with the area. You know, and it's been a couple years since, you know, they had a coaching change. I know they went through a stretch where it seemed like they were changing new coaches every year. Are they maybe in a better position to handle having that change now than maybe they would have been a year or two ago?
I do think they are. They've got a team that's been together for a little bit while. You know, I know numbers are still not extremely high there, but they've got, you know, the guys. Sometimes that almost makes it easier, right, when you can just focus your attention on a smaller group. Right, you can get them to gel and come together a little bit faster. Work on some of the strengths and weaknesses of those kids, and I think that's a situation you got here. You've got a great senior class. You've got a lot of juniors here, guys ready to contribute and like you said, kind of take that next step. You know, a guy for them that was a pleasant surprise. Right, they had to start a freshman goalie last year in Charlie D. He's a sophomore now. You know, he'll be ready to. You know, in theory, he's ready to take that next step there. You know, again, one of the more dynamic players in the league, you know, when you talk about a Zach Amend or a Jackson Estes or something like that, you don't go too far before talking about Ben Defoe, right? And, you know, another guy that's committed to Bryant and you know, it seems like everybody, they love us down here. And, you know, Ben play, you know, he's a guy that you have to account for all over the field, right? Lightning quick, righty, lefty, and he makes all the other players around him better.
He's a guy who, you know, yeah, you mentioned he's comparable to, I think, a lot of other talented guys in this division, but maybe a victim of there just being so many guys in this, you know, so many teams and so many that sometimes he might get a little bit overlooked, but certainly belongs on that level of some of the top other, you know, scorers. I think if I'm remembering correctly, he had a 100-point season for them last year.
He filled the stat sheet just about every single game. And I think, you know, for them, I think what will help this year is he's got a really good attack line around him that people are going to have to account for. Guys like Connor Cook, Noah Taylor, Mason Axon. I apologize, Mason, but you know, guys like that, that you know, last year I was impressed with their attack line. I think it'll be interesting with the loss of Tommy Anderson. Who else steps up at midfield? Does a JP Torgensen, does he step up and is able to you know, offset some of the attention that Ben's going to get? You know, that to me, that's kind of the big question for them this season.
I think maybe the biggest thing, you know, last year I think the story with them was their depth, is they had really low numbers. You know, and you could see just some of those games against the top teams, they were running out of steam at the end. This year, 17 new players, 11 freshmen. That's a huge get for them, you know, going into a year where there's going to be some flux, you know, just and a good sign, you know, that hopefully that lacrosse is bouncing back
right
in a town where it's traditionally been pretty strong.
Yeah. So again, I think that's a team that, you know, a lot of teams are not going to want to face. Their offense is going to be pretty dynamic. Their defense is going to get better and better as the season goes along. You know, and they're going to be well coached. So, you know, that's another team that I think, you know, is in that tier, next tier of teams that you got to worry about.
All right. Well, you mentioned Goffstown. What can you tell me about I feel like we get to a certain point and there's always a couple of teams where it's like, oh, like, where do I piece them in? Where does Goffstown piece in this division too?
Goffstown is always a team that you have to scout and scout real well. I think, you know, one of the things for them is, like, they're going to be hard to score on. Sean Cody is a very good goalie. He's been committed to Franklin Pierce since his junior year. A kid for them, you know, on defense, Noah Babin, stepped up last year as a freshman. Strong IQ, got himself in really good shape. He's going to be a good player for them this year. You know, it amazes me every year, like, you know, just how physical and tough they are to play each season. I expect them. There were some games last year where there were some weird. I know they had some games, I think, over April break, right, where they were missing guys, and they were a better team than their. I don't know. You tell me. I thought they were a better team than their record indicated last year when we played them. I was impressed with what they had out there, and
The couple of times I saw them, I felt like they looked like they could compete at that level, but they just had lulls where, you know, they'd fall asleep on one end or the other, or just, you know, kind of lose what they were, you know, trying to do. Maybe lose a little bit of, you know, discipline out there. You know, so it was things that were correctable, but they just kind of lost. It seemed like they would lose focus at times.
They were impressive indoor. They've got some really good athletes. You know, Noah Bless and TJ Smittick, they're both seniors this year at the midfield there. Sam Chapman and Andrew Seely on attack, two really good attackmen for them. I think they're going to have a pretty good offense this year. I think if they can have some, you know, they lost some good deep holes. They lost a guy, Donovan Governati, on defense last year. You know, if they can get some guys to step up on the defensive end of the field and you know, protect Sean and net, they're going to be a tough out this year.
You're talking about that last year they had one goal losses against Oyster River, Winneconnet, and Windham.
Right.
You know, so they were competing with some of the, you know, top teams. It just couldn't get over that hump.
Right, and that's what I mean. Those games go a different way, and now that's what I was kind of indicating by, like, they were a better team than I think what their record showed last year.
Right.
And I think, you know, they, you know, I think it's year two, I think, for Coach Allen, for
yep.
Corey,
yep.
And you know, do they'll be able to, you know, they know his system. They'll take another step forward with them, I think, this year.
Opening day for them, April 9th, at Tuesday, 4 o'clock, against Alvern at home. We have seen
a new
era of Goffstown lacrosse. We were talking about, you know, you talked about how physical they are. Certainly a team that over the years has been a grind it up, muck it up kind of team at times. How will they transition to now being a turf team?
Well, I'm just happy. It seemed like every time we go there, the grass was always 6 inches long whenever we'd go to play them there. It was like
it was
like the old Notre Dame thing where Notre Dame would grow out the grass every time they'd play Miami or somebody, and it seemed like so we don't have to worry about that anymore. I think it helps. I think they're going to play faster. I think they're going to play physical. You know, and you don't have to worry about the field conditions.
You guys got them at home this year, so you luck out with getting to see the goal horn and lights and the whole show, so Certainly
next year.
I would say if you haven't been over to check out the field yet, definitely try to get yourself to a Goffstown game, because it is probably the best high school facility in the state now in terms of the field and certainly the press box. It is the Taj Mahal of New Hampshire high school press boxes.
Are you allowed up there? Did you get a pass?
I'm allowed up there. Hey, they let me. You'd be surprised at the places they let me in.
I feel like you and AD Huff have a nice little back and forth
see,
with each other
it's
there.
It's all in good fun.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of people think that there's some kind of.
It's one of my favorite Twitter
issue.
Follows.
Yeah. It's no, we're all, or at least we were the last time I talked to him. I don't know. Maybe something's changed since then. All right. Let's grab another team here. I think
we haven't talked about a lot of teams up north.
No.
You want to go with the Knights?
Let's
you want to go Kingswood?
Yeah, let's go to Kingswood. You read my mind.
All right.
You know, Kingswood has been a program. You know, I guess the question with them is, can this be the year that they kind of get back to more of the traditional playoff team, playoff program that they've been for most of their history? Last couple of years, I think, been down a little bit. But it sounds like this year they've got a lot of returning guys, a lot of guys who play in the offseason. They had a team in the indoor league in Bedford, I think, for the first time in a while. Certainly got to be extra committed for that to be coming down from Wolfboro to
really appreciate
to
them
play
making
Bedford,
that trip
yeah.
down every weekend. Yeah.
So I think yes, this might be a year that we see Kingswood back in the mix for a playoff spot for sure, and who knows, maybe even making someone have to come up to play them on their field. I think the big key for them. Will Crane at midfield returning.
100%. Another guy we talked about maybe flies under the radar a little bit because of the number of good guys in the league.
And the fact that he's so far,
a little bit north. You
don't
get to see him as much, but really dynamic player, excellent player for them, and definitely going to be one that will be high up in the All-State voting this year.
Well, what'll help, I think, for them a little bit this year is they play at Goffstown, at Sauhegan, at Derry Field, at Timberlane. So
they're going
to
get exposure.
Good opportunity to get down into the southern part of the state and hopefully be able to catch a few more of their games than normal. But anybody else, you know, kind of stand out?
Well, really good senior class. You know, Keegan Russo on attack. Troy Dow at the midfield. Gavin Kopp on defense there. Wyatt Brown, senior goaltender there. You know, these are guys that have been together for a long time. You know, Coach Manning has put in a ton of work in the offseason over the last couple of years, getting these guys doing offseason summer stuff, skill clinics, playing in the league, things like that. And I think, you know, it's a group that should have really good chemistry together and you know, I think work well together. So, you know, I think it's, and again, a team that you don't get to watch because they're so far up north. It's a little bit harder to scout them. A little bit harder to get tape and things like that. You know, they definitely could sneak up on some teams, and you know, it looks like he's got four or five freshmen that he's really excited about too. So, you know, again, future looks bright for lacrosse coming back and for the Knights.
Unfortunately for them too, that they are on a turf field. I know they got a ton of snow up there.
I almost feel like if you're north of Concord, you should be required
to
have a turf field.
You should have to have a turf field. They do open with two home games against Kennett and Hanover. You know, hopefully by then, you know, maybe they can, if the snow hasn't completely melted by then, they can get out and, you know, clear the field somehow. I don't know what they're, I know some places, what, plow their fields if they can. So hopefully that'll get them. And then they finish that first
week. We tried
week.
On Monday. Ours was iced over. It took a day and a half to get it ice free again. But, yeah.
Unbelievable. We should have expected it, I think. All right, where do we go to next up north?
Well, let's say north of Concord, but not too far north of Concord. Let's go the Pride right now. Let's go over to Merrimack Valley.
All right. What do you see from the Pride this year?
Well, I'm just seeing, not to be cliche, but I'm seeing a lot of pride in the program. Like if you follow them on Instagram and social media, right?
They are
like
all
they
over
are
the place.
All
yep.
in. They are putting in the work in the weight room. They're doing clinics in the off season. They've been a long time mainstay in the Tomahawk Indoor League there. Lot of guys out playing. It doesn't from what they have on here, it doesn't look like a huge senior class, but they've got a lot of juniors, a lot of sophomores. They do have Nolan Beck as a senior on attack. They've got Braden Hussey, senior midfielder there. You know, it seems like it's finally turned. For a long time, it seemed like you know, you kind of saw the same last names in Merrimack Valley, And I'm starting to see some newer guys developing, names that I don't recognize as much, from there. And I think it's good. They look like they're going to be a deep team this year, a physical team. Coachless, Carter Lankhorst as a freshman, as a faceoff midfielder there. He's excited about them. I think, do you have their schedule in front of you? I don't know what their early season schedule is like and whether or not they're going to get tested or they've got some time to get into it.
They open, although I'm not sure if this one will get played on their field, but they're hosting St. Thomas to open. And then they go to Alvern and then host Spalding and host Hanover and then at Pembroke.
Okay.
And then it looks like they're taking vacation week off and then come back against you guys. That's a great way to, or a tough way to start, obviously, with St. Thomas. But given their field obviously is a grass field, if that's going to be ready to go in about 10 days or so.
And that's a huge question. I did see they look like they had been up practicing at Proctor for that early week there. So they've gotten some time on turf, and that's been a huge, because otherwise, you're likely in a parking lot or in a gym, which you can only get so much stuff done. There's nothing like being out on an open field and having multiple goals to shoot on and things like that.
Ball bounces a little differently on
ball
those surfaces,
is a little
right?
different. Yes. Yes.
I'm not an expert on that kind of stuff. So I just figured I'd check. How about while we're in the area, let's also maybe talk some Pembroke Spartans.
Yeah,
they probably have again another guy that flies under the radar that we don't talk about enough. But
I assume you're talking about Caden Mix,
a senior midfielder. How much can having a guy like that maybe get you to? Again, I think they were a playoff team last year, I believe.
Coach Lawson will have them. He'll have them really well coached. He'll have them playing disciplined lacrosse. He'll have fundamentals. Will be really good with that team. And when you have a guy like Caden Mix, I think the key for him is, you're going to draw every team's top pole or your best defender in every game. Can he still draw slides? Can he still be dynamic and make the other players around him better? Right. He's got two seniors on attack this year, and Owen Hill and Cameron Clark. Nate Jordan at the midfield, like we said, can he make those guys around him better and make them be able to not just key on him every game?
They were looks like they were 7-8 a year ago, so that might have been right on the playoff line. It felt like.
Yep.
Of course, it's taken me forever to try to find this.
I know they're also breaking in, coach's head. He's been bringing his goalies down to do training each week. I know he's breaking in a relatively green goalie this year too. So, his defense will have to step up and let him get his feet under him. Yes, Pembroke was in the playoffs last year.
They were a playoff team. Yep. They were the 13th seed a year ago.
Yep.
So certainly something to build off from last year. And again, it's like you were saying that the schedule's the same, just flipped for the most part.
Yep.
They do have that one couple interesting matchups coming up later in the year. They've got a game against Milford, Battle of Spartans there. Milford from D3, and then they follow that up in mid-May with a game against Manchester. So a little bit of more of a challenge there, I think, and a pretty interesting matchup, especially having right before or as you're trying to get ready to get into the playoffs. So that's that'll be interesting for Pembroke.
But, I think a good challenge to have, and, I think they can build off the success they had last season, right? And they should be really excited about that moving forward there. Coach Lawson will have them going.
What about another team that we don't talk about a ton because we have a hard time seeing a lot about them, but a team that always seems to have a couple of guys that compete and just always trying to build up around them. Maybe they can get that a little bit more. This sounds like they've got a little bit more experience coming back. That would be Kennett. The guy that I think you start with there is Bob Murphy, the senior on attack. I know they've had some changes on the defensive end. Their goalie from last year, Carter Tasker, is moving to close defense. They've got another goalie stepping in. In Richie Vargas, who's a junior, So that's, I mean, those
they
are the kind of moves.
They always have depth. It seems like whenever we play them, like
they've
their
got numbers.
Sidelines, their numbers are always filled. I think they do a great job of getting the athletes out. They get the hockey players, the basketball players, the football players to come out. You know, I think it's just a tough situation. They're limited by how much lacrosse they can play up there. You know, we're supposed to go up and play them on April 15th, and they got 2 feet of snow the other week. So who knows if that field's going to be ready to go at the time. And even if the snow's gone, it could be a lake. You know, you never know.
I mean, I'm sure it's entirely possible that all of a sudden we get some 70-degree day, sunny days here next week. But
it's just the rain. We'll take 50 and no rain at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, the one thing that has been really good is, you know, they've had stable coaching. You know, Coach Weston is back again this year. You know, so again, the guys will be used to his system and playing underneath him. So, you know, that'll be a good thing for them this year.
Murphy, too, one thing of note as well is should be creeping up on his 100th career goal this year, which, I think he already holds the record, school record for goals. So that's, that would be a nice thing to leave with have that nice milestone there. All right, where do you want to head to next?
Well, I've got Spalding sitting right here in front of me. Should we talk Coach Doobie in Spalding?
Yeah. Again, another program that, their numbers look good. Amount of seniors look good. How are they going to get it to translate?
I know it's a program that they've invested a lot in. I think it's still growing. You know, they're putting a lot of work into the youth program there. And I think, you know, they may be a couple of years away from that paying dividends, but they're still, you know, they've got a lot of guys, like you said, they've got a lot of guys returning. It looks like a really good junior class that they've got listed there. And so, like we said, it might be another year before they can really get it going. But you know, as long as the numbers are good, I think, you know, they should be in the mix competing for one of those playoff spots again this year.
Couple of guys on offense to watch with them, all seniors: Justin Libby, Gannon Hughes, Will Godbout, you know, and then junior Jonas Levesque, guys that are back.
I think Will's committed to NEC, correct?
Yeah, that sounds.
I think sounds yeah, right. yep.
yeah. You know, and then a couple of freshmen coming in that, you know, could contribute right away. So it's, you know, it's one of those situations. I feel like if they were able to. I think we talked about it, just build some momentum, you know, maybe get a couple of wins that they weren't expecting, you know, something like that, just to kind of get something going within the program. And like you said, the numbers look like they continue to increase. So that's always a good sign, but it feels like they maybe just need something to get them over the hump.
Yeah. And they, you know, and they traditionally have a tough time with the schedule they draw too, right? Being a Seacoast team, they always get Portsmouth. They always get Winnicott. They're getting Timberland. They're getting STA. They've drawn us the last couple of years after that was 2 years ago. It was the first time we ever, last year, I think was the first time we ever played them. So they've got a challenge. They've definitely got a challenging schedule.
Yeah. They open at Timberland, Hollis, Brookline. Then they've got Derryfield, Winnicott, Wyndham back to back after
no
vacation.
No breaks in that schedule. No.
Oyster River, St. Thomas, Dover, and then Portsmouth ending the schedule. So yeah, pretty challenging schedule for anyone.
Very challenging schedule for anyone. Yeah, for sure.
You know, another D2 team that again we talk about when we hear from them. Certainly heard a lot about them last year, but some changes over in Conval. They were a team that I'm trying to remember.
They made the playoffs.
Did make the playoffs last year. You know,
Coach Bob Taylor returns. Yep. He was there back. I know he was there in 2014. He may have been through 2015 or long. He took a break when he had a kid in the program and is now back with them again this year. You know, did a real good job of getting kids out to play indoor this winter. You know, I think won one of the lower divisions that
they did.
Were in.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned that because I watched a lot of that particular week, the game that they played, and you know, some guys that look like, unfortunately, I don't know who they were and how many of them are on the returning roster, but some guys that were out there competing and that looked like they were, you know, enjoying each other and having a good time. And you know, one guy who stood out, I'm guessing it's the same guy because they don't have, I think they only have one goalie listed here, right? Yeah.
Samard?
Steven Samard. He played really well in that, that indoor game.
Yeah, he got thrown into the fire a few times last year. They had a really good senior goalie last year, but there were times where Steven had to step in, and he got some really good experience last year. And yeah, he looked very good indoors.
Yeah, looked very good indoors. Their defense looked really good as well. They got a couple seniors there. Broden Frosch, Andrew St. Cyr, Kermit Pope. You know, the defense played really well for them during indoor. So something to build off of. We'll see where that gets them, how that comes together. Because it really does, you know, outside of some of those guys, it's a lot of guys that I think are, you know, you mentioned the goalie from last year. They had a couple other big guys the last couple of years that carried the load. And most of those guys, I think, are gone. So these guys will have a chance to really step up and show what they can do.
Absolutely. A couple teams left here. We haven't talked about Hanover. We can go up to Hanover right now. You know, I think that's a team last year that, you know, I remember I actually went over when they played Timberlane, and they were definitely hit by the injury bug. They had some guys that were out last year. You know, a team that you know, had a new coaching staff last year. You know, it to me, they were able to make the playoffs last year, right? Didn't lose a tremendous amount. It looked like there were only two seniors on the roster. You know, I'll be honest with you. Based off of last year, I can't really tell you exactly who I expect to step up and be their you know, their go to guys this year. But it is a team that I expect to take a step forward. You know, it looked like they were starting some pretty young kids in some pretty key spots. And so, you know, I'm expecting that they will be, they'll be, if they can stay healthy, they got to keep everybody healthy. But, you know, I expect them to be a much better team this year. A
lot of juniors on the roster from last year. So you would assume, you know, senior heavy this year. You know, a team that kind of got thrown together, it feels like, maybe last minute last year on both the boys and the girls side. This year with a little bit more time to get, you know, get some momentum going. Hillsborough Daring and John Stark started a co-op last year, which was, yeah, I think probably a great for both sides, because I think Hillsborough wasn't going to have enough kids. John Stark hadn't had enough kids for a couple of years to have a program.
But had a really, like, had a long traditional lacrosse.
Yeah, some very good kids.
It was really sad to see that fall apart. And then hopefully allows, because they've always had you know, the John Stark Ware program has always had a good town program. They still have a presence in the indoor league. You know, so there's potential there for it to grow back again. A
couple of guys, seniors looking to lead them. Noah Carter on defense, may even see time and goal, I think, for them. Lucas Gagnon on attack. Senior CJ Noyes, junior at midfield. And then Wyatt Puzo could be a standout for them on defense as a sophomore. And then I apologize. We're leaving somebody out.
Keen Monadnock.
Got a new coach this year. Manning Kirker returns.
Former player.
Alumni for them. Returns to take over that program.
He had been there so long, I did a double take. I was like, maybe he's still, the years had blended together. And I was like, is this guy still here?
And now it's been a few years, I believe. Yeah. They, you know, a cycle up to D1 at some point and, you know, back down. And it's been a while since I think he's been there. But they are also, you know, I would expect them to almost be in a, or, you know, to not to almost, to be in the mix for potentially a playoff spot. I think they were close last year, but of course with the rule, you know, where teams that petition down aren't able to get in, so they wouldn't have made it anyways. But, you know, potentially, opportunity to come close to that again this year.
Yeah, and I mean it's again a team that's hard to scout, hard to really know a lot about them, you know, because they are so far away, right? And unless they travel out here, it's hard to get a good look at them. But they do. They have some really talented players in the program. A lot of them play club out there. You know, they've had some guys that have gone on to the college level. Not all of them stay all 4 years, but you know, I think with Coach Kirkner being there now, you know, a product of that success, he can keep more kids home and probably be a program on the rise in a few years.
All right. Well, I think that that's going to wrap us up for this week. We got through everybody. I think we both need we need to take a 5 minute breather and then move on. But that should wrap us up for this week. D2 always it's definitely the marathon of the podcasts here.
I feel like I ran a bunch of sprints. Yeah. I hate marathons. You're never gonna catch me running a marathon. But
I wasn't saying we should do a marathon. I'm just saying it's more of a marathon with D2. All right. Any thoughts before we go, or we exhaust everything?
Well, I'm kind of upset that there's blue sky out now, and it was drizzling and raining on me all practice. But you know, there is blue sky out there now. Like I said, excited. You know, I had a good week and a half of practice. I'm sure other people are excited, you know, with their teams too. There's some really good. Oyster River hosting a big jamboree weekend.
Manchester as well.
Manchester. So some really good opportunities to get out and see some lacrosse this weekend. You know, just excited to be back out again. It's that time of year.
My Saturday is going to be very busy, bouncing around from a few places. So hopefully I'll have a lot to report back on next week. All right. That'll wrap us up for this week. He is Chris Hettler. I'm Joe Marcellina. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you next week.